a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
We're just talking about these more and more Americans are breaking free from their jobs. That CNN headline was a showstopper for me. I mean, 4.3 million people quitting in August. It's according to the Labor Department. That's the highest on record, dating back to when I think they started keeping records in the year 2000.
Millions. Mm-hmm. Millions go walking. My dad taught me this, and I have lived by it. Never quit a job unless you have another job in hand.
Oh, you think that's what's happening?
I would hope that's what's happening.
Huh. Let me run this one by you. Do you think some folks got enough stimulus money? And we did, you know, we talked about people squirreling away their stimulus money earlier this week on this show. There's a significant number of Americans who got stimulus money put in savings. Do you think that they felt empowered to walk away for a moment and kind of rethink things?
No, because I think the stimulus money, although it was not a small amount, it's not a life-changing amount. And to quit your job, it has to be a life-changing amount of money because, you know, whether you got $1,200 or $1,800 or a couple thousand, that'll get eaten up in a month or two in mortgage payments or car or whatever. It was a nice little boost. It was not meant to live on.
Not enough to put you in that
Not enough that I'm thinking, oh, I can quit my job. Not once did that cross my mind.
So before we get to our interview with the chief economist of the Department of Workforce Services, let me bounce this off you. It is a lot of folks are walking out of their jobs at restaurants. 900,000. In fact, let me read this statement to you, Dave. It was in the Reno Gazette Journal. Yes, I was reading the Reno Gazette Journal. And it's just one sentence in there that really caught my attention. And it was about the great resignation, which we're talking about right now. In some cases, employees, and they're talking about restaurant employees, just take off their aprons, step outside in the middle of a shift, and disappear for good. They're fed up.
Yeah.
And the restaurant industry, I mean, they get paid couple bucks an hour, and then they have to work off tips. And I've known a lot of folks who work in the restaurant business, and it is dog eat dog. They're racing around all day. People are angry in the kitchen.
Customers are yelling at you.
Yeah, and you don't get tips. You go home crying, and you're like, I've had enough. But let's bring Mark Nold on, the chief economist with the Department of Workforce Services. We need you at the kitchen table here. Join this conversation, Mark.
Okay, I will.
So where is everybody going if they're quitting?
To another job. This is an environment where I would call high opportunity for those who are, let's call it the buyer and the seller market. I'm selling my labor. The buyers are buying in high droves right now. There is a shortage of labor. And that developed during the COVID pandemic. You had business community closed down. Whether they were forced to or not, you had a lot of labor went idled on the sidelines. In April, May, and June of this year, we thought COVID was over collectively. The business community opened up in mass, and the labor supply did not come back in mass. So you end up with a gap between what the business community is looking for and what the amount of labor that's available. So that makes a shortage. Shortages make for opportunities for labor. And people will quit their jobs then and go find that better job because its opportunities are out there. So this is opportunity quitting that's going on to the most of the degree, not frustration quitting.
You talk about supply and demand. Do we have too many businesses right now?
No, I don't think we have too many businesses. It's you know, businesses really will happen and develop as the demand for products are there. The business aspects are still there pre-COVID. We actually have more jobs in the economy now than we did before COVID hit here in Utah. That's one of the unique states to do that. If there are too many businesses, the market will clean them out with time. But right now, I think the most stressful industry is the restaurant industry. It was the one that was impacted the hardest during the COVID setbacks. It's the ones that opened up all at once together in the early parts of the spring and summer of this year. And it's the one under the most stress and duress to find the workers. It's not the highest paying industry. It's the one with the most physical contact with customers. It's the one where you're getting both quitting for opportunities and going somewhere else, and maybe even some quitting because COVID interaction, customer interaction. It's the industry under the most duress.
Mark, final question. I've got about 30 seconds left. As people are getting higher paying jobs, are they giving up a second or a third job?
Those are hard to measure because it's very possible. Obviously, we only have about 6% of the entire employment base that takes on a second job. So it's not a huge quantity, but why do you take on a second job? In most cases, it's to augment your income. And so if you are getting higher pay at another job, it's very possible that you would quit a second job and that your new primary job wage can take care of what the other two jobs prior to that were doing for you.
Great information, Mark Nold, Chief Economist at the Department of Workforce Services. Thanks for joining us.
The way we talk sometimes on the radio, Dave, I thought everybody had a second job.
6%. I had no idea. I thought it was going to be much higher.
But still, if you're that one person in that, you know, group of friends that has that second job, you don't have the freedom that everybody else has. So I could see going for a higher paying job, a job that has benefits as well. So you don't have to work that second job. It's exhausting. Have you worked two jobs?
Oh, yeah.
A full-time job and a part. I did, too, Dave.
I have my entire life. I've always had something, some sort of side hustle.
I remember when I was reporting at Channel 4 for news here in town, I'd have to get to work by 8:30 or 9 in the morning. Okay, 9 or 9:30. That's
seems late now.
9:30 or 10. And I worked the morning show at the country radio station down the street here. So I did news for them. I had to be there by 5:30 in the morning. And then I worked at Channel 4 until 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. Oh, my gosh.
Worn out, yeah.
That was absolutely exhausting. Great conversation. Up next, this is going to be an amazing interview. We're going to have a lead researcher on the air live with us to tell us what employees need or what employers should be offering their workers to keep them around. All right, that conversation straight ahead.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news.
BYU battles back.
Jet sweep motion. Alger stumbled, regains his balance, and gets to the second level.
Saturday morning.
KSL special extended pregame coverage
starts at 10.
He will score! Touchdown!
It's BYU versus Baylor. The Cougars travel to Waco, Texas to defend their number 19 rank.
Pregame coverage starts Saturday morning at 10.
Kickoff is at 1:30 this Saturday. Listen to 102.7 FM in your car.
Or tell Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.